Welcome, my dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, to our worship service this beautiful morning. It's great to see you all here, and hello to everybody out in the parking lot and on Zoom as well. It's wonderful to be gathered around our Father and around His Word, even if we can't necessarily all be in the same room. But it's really neat that we're all getting here now, isn't it? It's just better and better every week. I love it. All right, my friends, well, let us begin our worship service then, and we'll begin remembering our baptisms, the day that we were brought into the family of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, for all that you have done for us, Lord, for making us your children and being with us every single day, all the time, Lord, being a prayer away. That you just guard us and protect us and provide for us, Lord, even if we don't ask for it. Lord, you are so good to us, and we pray that you would continue to minister to us this morning through your word in this service. Fill us with your word once again. Assure us of the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow our faith, Lord, so that we can have the confidence that we need, Lord, to go out and live for you in this world, Lord, and have the Spirit to guide us. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let's begin our service then by confessing our sins to God our Father. Please stand as we confess. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we return praise to the God who has so lavishly forgiven us. Paradise.
nation sings hallelujah. The King is risen, glory to the name of our risen Lord. Let all the earth proclaim hallelujah. Our sins forgiven, glory to your name.
The scripture reading for this morning is from Luke 24, verses 36 through 49. Luke is a doctor, naturally, a Gentile. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat? Anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled bread, fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. "The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses for these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, it's now time for the children's message, and Kathy has the children's message this morning, the director of our EC.
I'm here. All right. Good morning. How are you guys? Well, I brought something with me today that I wanted to share with you guys. It's almost time for lunch. Who's getting hungry? Right? Okay, I wanted to show you what I brought for lunch today. Let's see if you can maybe think about what I might be having today. So first, what do you see? What can I make with bread? Okay, good guesses. I have another ingredient here. Do you know what this is? Butter or margarine for those technical people. What can I make with bread and butter? Ooh, lots of good guesses. Well, if it's just bread and butter, toast. How about a butter sandwich? Has anybody had a butter sandwich before? I used to grow up on those. It was like my nighttime snack with my dad. So good if you haven't tried it. But I do have another ingredient here. And that is, it's kind of broken. But what is this? Cheese. Okay, so I've got bread, butter, cheese. Grilled cheese. Good guesses. But if that's all I have, can I really make grilled cheese right now, right in front of you? No. Oh, I do have something else. Let's see here. Here it is. Okay. Now what can I make? grilled cheese. Yep, that's right. Now, I'd have to have a stove, of course. And if I had the stove right here, I could definitely make it. So I'll probably have to go back home to finish that one. But now that you know all of the things that I have to make my lunch, you know exactly what I'm going to have, right? Did you know for sure that I could have a grilled cheese when you just saw the bread and butter? You didn't know for sure. You didn't have all of the information. Well, that's kind of how our Bible story was today with Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus had to give them all the information so that they knew what was going on and what to do next. So when Jesus came to the disciples, he had to tell them a lot of what was going on. They were confused. So he first showed them his hands, his scars, his feet, and then he ate with them. Then he talked to them about other scripture stories to help them think about what was happening at that time. Then he talked to them about turning their attention to God, which we call repentance, and he talked to them about forgiveness. And after all of that, Jesus then told them, now that you understand and see what I've been telling you, you can go tell everybody else, becoming a witness. So, remember how I showed you all of those ingredients? I had to show them all to you before you really, truly knew what I'm going to have for lunch. The disciples had to get all of the information from Jesus before they really knew how they could use that to share the word about God. And now that Jesus had told them everything they needed to know, they could go tell others about it too. And it worked. The disciples went out and shared with all of the people around them what they had learned and seen with Jesus, which is why now 2,000 years later, we're still telling stories about Jesus. We're still telling the word of God so that we can share that news with others. And the more we learn about Jesus from those stories, the more like the disciples we can be. And just like they did, we'll be able to share and talk about those stories with each other and the people around us. And that's the good news for today. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the disciples who shared everything they saw and learned from following Jesus. Please help us to do the same. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Although now I'm hungry. All right. Oh, first of all, a little worship. Anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade that wants to, that with the parents' permission can go to little worship, meet at the center cross. And who is that that has that? Is that Janet? Ah, yes. Mrs. Landgraf, our kindergarten teacher, is going to be doing little worship today, hiding in the shadows. I just can't quite see under there. Anyway. All right, and the rest of us are going to be opening up God's Word right here, and the text for today is, here we are, Acts 3, 11 to 21. But before I read it, we're going to have to go back and do a little review, because this the story that we're reading, the section that we're reading, actually starts at verse 1. So we have 10 verses of this story that we're missing, and it's going to be kind of important to understand what's going on. First of all, this happened right after Pentecost. Okay, I mean, it's like the tongues of fire, the rushing wind, the Peter going out and preaching like a crazy man, and just 3,000 people being baptized in one day. It was just epic, amazing, crazy day. And then shortly after that is this story. And this is kind of an interesting thing, because we got Peter and John together, which is a kind of an interesting mix. I mean, Peter, he's one of the older disciples, right? He's the one that talks first, thinks later. He's that very bold, very brash, very, you know, just that guy. And then we got John, who's the youngest of the apostles, and far more cerebral, far more reserved. And when he talks, he says really, really big things, like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, he's like really intellectual. And so the two of these guys working together was kind of an interesting thing to start with. But nevertheless, that's who was there. We have Peter and John, and they were showing up in the morning at the temple, just as they were walking up to the temple, there was a guy being carried in that had been, he was born unable to walk. There was something wrong with his feet and ankles, and he was just not able to walk. And we find out later he's 40 years old, over 40 years old. So by that point, he was pretty much hopeless. There was no hope he was ever going to walk. So they were, his friends were bringing him to the temple gate to beg and try to, you know, support himself by the by begging in front of the temple. And Peter walks up, and Peter and John catch up with him, and he looks at them and he says, "Hey, can you give me something?" And Peter answers, "Silver and gold, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I'll give you. Rise and walk." And he picks the guy up, and the guy gets up. And it's really funny in the text how the language is. It's sort of like he's walking, but he's dancing. The best you can do is figure he probably was going back and forth between walking and jumping around and walking and jumping around, which is what I would do. I mean, if I'd been like sitting still my whole life, and all of a sudden I could get up, I would be all over the place doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, just if nothing else, to convince myself it's real. And if it's temporary, I'm going to get as much out of this as I can. You know what I mean? They're just that kind of a thing. And so this is what just happened, is that Peter and John just ran into this guy, and the guy was healed. All right, so we begin Acts chapter 3, verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, held on to them, he was a little delirious. And all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." All right, now first of all, Peter's not being fair. I mean, Jesus did this too, where he would say something, then you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He walks up to the, okay, he just healed this guy, all right? This guy had been born from birth, not able to walk. So, I mean, count the problems with the guy, right? I mean, something structural, his bones didn't grow right, his feet didn't grow right. Something was seriously wrong with him. And all of a sudden it was healed. And not only was it healed, but he was strong. Because you guys know how this is, right? I mean, if you did heal somebody's, you know, bones and this, that wouldn't mean that all of a sudden all the muscles would be strong. I mean, it was like, what was it? Maybe 10, 15 years ago, I broke my wrist, youth ministry. I should get hazard pay. Anyway, well, the thing is that I broke my wrist, and the one bone that I broke was the scaphoid or something like that is called. I don't know. But the one thing I did learn about it is it takes twice as long to heal as any other bone in your wrist. Because, of course, I would break that one. And so 6 weeks in a cast. You know how weak that arm was when I got out of the cast? And could you imagine this guy never walked and how weak he was? And when Peter said, "Get up and walk," he got up and walked. And he wasn't just like limping along. He was like dancing around and running and jumping and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. The problem that this guy had was huge, immense, and unfixable. Couldn't be done. And all of a sudden it was fixed. And in a moment. And Peter's asking the people, why are you so surprised? I mean, come on. Why wouldn't you be surprised? This is a really amazing thing. This is not something that happens every day. And so, but what he was really getting at here is Peter was basically setting the people up for this. He was saying, listen, you think this is cool? Wait till you hear what we're about to talk about. Because what we're about to talk about is even bigger. And it's bigger because the problem was bigger, and so the resolution of the problem was bigger. And so he starts out. Now, when we are taught how to preach, I can't even talk, preaching is hard. But when we was taught how to preach at seminary, they said that whenever you preach the law, they said, don't hold back, preach it completely. You know, make sure everybody understands exactly what the expectations are that God puts in front of you. And so Peter did that in today's text. All right? So he's about to start talking to the people, and here's what he has to say. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own godliness we were made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus, and here's where we start. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Okay, that's not great. Though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be released to you. Okay, so what is Peter actually telling the people? He's saying this. Remember that whole Old Testament thing that I gave you? That whole thing? All talking about the Messiah, all giving you promises and clues and hints about what it was going to be. And the entire reason that God gave the children of the reason that he made the children of Israel his holy people was so that he could reveal to him the truth of what he was going to do, that he could leave these prophecies and these clues so that when the Messiah came, somebody would recognize him. They blew it. They didn't recognize him. And in fact, when the Messiah finally came, they caused him to suffer. They fought him. They stood against him. They did everything that they weren't supposed to do. Not good. And he goes on. He says, you disowned the Holy One and asked for a murderer to be released. In other words, yeah, you turned in the one that was promised and exchanged him for a murderer, because that would be so much better. You killed the author of life. Ouch. I mean, think about that. Go back to the beginning of John again, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without him, and through him everything was made that has been made. John, this is all intellectual speak again, but basically what he's saying is, this Jesus who you crucified is the reason you have life, even the first life, even your physical life. And you killed the author of life. It's just shocking and horrible. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And then he does something that's really important. Guys, listen, our job is to do ministry in this world, right? I mean, we're put in this world so that we can mutually encourage each other, right? We bump into other people all the time, Christians and non-Christians, who are being beaten up by life. Life is just being really, really hard on them at the moment, and they're struggling. And our job is to encourage them and to build them up, right? And here's the first rule in doing ministry. Don't ever point to yourself as an answer. You're not the answer. Who's the answer? What we do when we are, as Christians, when we are building up another Christian, when we are helping them, when we are encouraging them, when we are giving them strength in times of weakness, what do we do? The best thing we can do is point them to the one who's holding you up. The only reason you're not on the ground is because God's holding you up. If that person needs to be held up, who are you going to point them to? The one that holds all of us. And so, I mean, when somebody comes to you struggling, don't try to fix all their problems yourself. That's not your position. I mean, if you can do that, that's nice, and that can fit in at some point. But the first thing we need to do, the first thing that has to be done, is that we point that person to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that actually can solve their problems. I mean, for goodness sakes, what can I do, right? What can you do? We don't have control over anything. But God has control over everything. So we point everybody to Jesus. And that's what Paul did, is he said, listen, you guys are really messed up. You guys really blew it. You guys got it all wrong. You totally did the opposite of what God's people were supposed to be doing. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in but by the faith, we're at verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and now know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So the people all came to them because something really amazing happened. This guy who's never able to walk was suddenly able to walk, right? And what's Peter pointing to? Jesus. And now what's he going to point to for the other problem that he pointed out, that the people like totally messed everything up and didn't recognize Jesus and instead abandoned Jesus or denied Jesus in front of Pilate? Yeah, he says this. He says, fellow Israelites, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. The problem that this man had was huge. He couldn't walk, couldn't support himself, couldn't support a family, couldn't have much of a life, ended up supporting himself by begging. And Peter, the God through Peter, healed him. And then Peter pointed out that these other people had some major problems, that they had blown it horribly, that they'd let God down in such an enormous way that the entire reason that God's people existed was so that they would recognize the Messiah, and they did not. And you know, I mean, if this was anybody else, there'd be some vengeance being called for. You know what I'm saying? I mean, breach of contract, lawsuits, something bad would happen, right? I mean, come on, we had a deal here and you guys totally blew it. You didn't live up to the standard. You don't get anything that you were supposed to get. No blessings come because there was no obedience. Is that what Jesus did? No. Peter says, look, this Jesus, you acted in ignorance. And in fact, what you did was carrying out what God had foretold was going to happen, that his Messiah was going to suffer. And that suffering was necessary because it is through that suffering that Jesus earned for us the forgiveness of sins that we needed. Through that death that our sin was paid for, it was through that resurrection that we get new life. And that new life is for these people too. You know, it's funny because people like see the word repent and they think, okay, now I have to do something. And that's kind of not really how that works at all. The idea is this: when you repent, you're just basically turning to God and letting God fix the problem. It's basically stopping trying to fix it yourself. Stop trying to justify it. Stop trying to go your own way. Stop trying to justify your life or try to make up for your sins or trying to be good enough or trying to... Stop. Go to God right now as you are and receive the forgiveness of sins that he died to give you. So what does it mean for us today? Well, here's the thing. What's your problem? I mean, the guy was lame. He was able to walk, right? These Jewish people totally blew it. They didn't do what God had called them to do. And the answer from God is forgiveness. And that answer of forgiveness is for us today. And the question is, well, what's our problem? Well, our problem is sin. What does sin look like to you? If I was going to stand up here, I love it because I love it when I preach a sermon. And God is amazing because I'll preach a sermon and somebody will come out and say, that was just for me. And I'm like, well, the Holy Spirit made it just for you. I was just preaching the word, right? I mean, I'm just preaching what's in the word for today. The thing is that whenever we talk about God's law and all its truth, it hurts all of us because we're all that messed up. I mean, it's not like any of us has got any of them right, you know? So, I mean, but the thing is that when, you know, the God is, where was I? Oh no, I lost the thought. let's see. Yeah, repent. Okay, thank you. All right. So yeah, basically, we just turn to God and we ask, God, you deal with this. You take these sins away. Whatever the sin is in your life, whatever it is that you're carrying, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is that is burdening you, whatever it is that you, that sin that you can't get rid of. I'm a little bit of a cruel person sometimes. You ever get a young child and you got to have us do experiments on young children. This is what we do. And so what I do is I take a piece of tape and I ball it up, you know, like you're going to stick something to the wall. And you put that in the little kid's hand. And they can't let go of it because they just do this and it sticks to their finger. And the trick is you have to take it away before they start crying. That's important. But nevertheless, the idea is they can't put it down because there's just something about that one that they can't get rid of. They can't just drop it. And this is what sin is like for us. You know, they ever have that where you try to drop a sin and it just sticks to you and you can't get rid of it. And they try the other hand and it sticks to that hand. You know, they can't, what do you do to get rid of this thing? And what God is saying is this, all your sins are covered. Jesus' death and resurrection covers all of them. And that what he wants from us is just to let him have the sin, to give it up, to stop trying to justify it, stop trying to fix the problem, give it up and let him have it. And when we realize, when we experience that forgiveness, remember what it was like in the beginning? I mean, some of us have been Christians for a long time. Some of us longer than others. And so the thing is that sometimes, you know, the things that are amazing when they're brand new seem like they're just, you know, we take them for granted later. But remember where Peter was at this point. How many days ago was it that he denied Christ? It wasn't that long ago, right? How many days ago was it that Jesus reinstituted him and, you know, three times said, you know, take care of my sheep. You think Peter was feeling the grace? You think he was loving forgiveness? Do you think he was really passionate about this message? And folks, we are forgiven every bit as much as he was. And what God's saying now is, do the same thing. Take that message that God has given us, that incredible gracious forgiveness, that no matter how big our sin, his grace is greater. Jesus' forgiveness dwarfs our sin. There is nothing that we have done that would stop him from loving us. We can't get him to love us less. It's not possible for him to love us more. We are his children. We are forgiven. And he wants that message to get out. Take that message out. Get it out in the streets. Talk about it as in Deuteronomy, right? Whenever you're walking along the way or whenever you're staying home, whenever you're sitting down, whenever you stand up, talk about this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have loved us, that you have made us your children, that you have brought us into your family, Lord, and that you do miraculous things, Lord, even in our lives, Lord. But we pray that you would help us to not be so distracted with the small miracles, Lord, that we miss out on this big miracle, that new life that we have in you and that confidence, Lord, that we will be with you in heaven, that we have this forgiveness, that we are your people to be used for your purposes in this world, Lord, and that other people need to hear this message as well. Help us, Lord, to keep our heads straight. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and give us the courage and obedience, Lord, so that we can speak your word at the proper time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let's continue our worship service by singing about this unbelievable blessing that we have of his revelation in these ancient words. My dear friends, let us now confess our faith using the words of the second article, or the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, folks, as we pray today, we're going to have a special prayer for our dear Mary Borgschulte, Lord, who's going to be having surgery tomorrow and Thursday. So we want to be praying for her. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made us your children, brought us into your house, blessed us with this forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately needed. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be courageous and bold with this message that brings life, that we would share it whenever we get opportunities. Lord, help us to be aware of those opportunities, guide us by your Spirit, and give us the right words to say so that we can most effectively share this message. Give us the courage, Lord, to act and to speak. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of our families of our congregation. Lord, I pray that you would be with the fathers, that they would teach, that the children, that they would learn, that the children would receive the messages that they need, the truths of God's word, the expectations of God, but also his grace and forgiveness, that they would know that God is a prayer away at all times, Lord, that you have promised to be with us always, to give us strength, to be our God. And Lord, I pray that the children would learn and to grow and to be in, to learn how to be in that relationship with you, that they may walk through life with you at their side and that they would never lose sight of that fact. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with life right now, that life comes at us with so many different things, and especially, Lord, the sinful parts of life or the effects of sin in life. The sickness, disease, and the monetary struggles, the problems with just things breaking down, our bodies breaking down, so many problems that we face. Lord, I pray, especially, Lord, that you would be with Mary as she's about to go into a couple of surgeries this week. I pray that you would give her strength, bless her surgeons, help her, Lord, and also be with Dorwood, Lord, to give him the strength that he's going to need to support her and to help her through this. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of our members, Lord, and our community members as well, people who are struggling and suffering. And Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities to lift each other up and to point each other toward you, the one who can help us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of our earthly authorities, Lord, those that are, you know, national, state, county, city. Especially during these crazy days, that they would be wise in the decisions they make, that they would be able to lead us in ways that serve your people and bring glory to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to them during these days. Lord, that their job would not be any harder than it needs to be. Lord, all these things we bring before you this day, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." My all in all, here in the love of God.
You are my King.
As we've received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the strength and forgiveness that he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing the final song of praise to our Lord today.
You are glorious,
My dear friends, a few announcements this morning. First of all, VBS registrations are now open. So if you have any kids, grandkids, neighbor kids, anybody who you can think of that needs to get registered, please do it soon because these spaces do fill up. The other thing is, we had a family meeting today, so that was good. If you missed it, I'm so sorry. It was a good one. And what am I thinking? Oh, the other thing was is that we are having a blood drive today, and I've got the last appointment at 12:45. So that's where I'll be after 12:45. But other than that, if you guys can run down there, they will. If there's any spots open, they will write you in a spot. Yes, Miss Alice. No. Yes. No. Okay. Basically, a guy. If you guys don't know what she's talking about, oh, here's the thing. We had hail damage to our facility. We were wondering what was going on because there was leaks everywhere. And part of it is also that the roof on the gym and kitchen area down there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 years old, and I think they're supposed to last 20. So we got our money's worth out of it. It's the good side of that. The bad side is we probably should have done this earlier. But the deal is Mike Kennedy has worked so hard working with the contractors, working with the insurance company, and getting this all figured out and worked out. And so if you see him around, do thank him profoundly for working this out. It's so funny because I almost feel bad thanking one guy because I'm going to forget about everybody else. There's so many people here who do so much. One person I forgot to bring up at the congregational meeting was the school board. Those people, what a year. What a year and a half that they've had. I mean, it's been an insane time, and they've been hanging on, and they are faithfully working and doing the best they can to lead through this. So there's a bunch of people who have just worked really, really hard through this crazy time, and just God has provided us again with amazing, wonderful people. So, but yes, thank that Mike Kennedy. He's a keeper. We'll definitely keep that. Anyway, all right. Well, with that, folks, I will see you in the back. God's blessings on your week.